Good evening. Good evening. You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland, 91.1, 107.1 FM, and in Halen, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach, 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm, where radio is yours. Hello and welcome to another episode of VCR TV. I'm your host and DJ, Kyle Reese, here live in the studio with you, which this will be my last live broadcast at the Falcon Arts building, which I've been doing my show here for almost 9 years at this point, and it's pretty much been primarily in Studio B at the Falcon Arts in our studio here. But as you may have heard, we're moving into a new studio, which is exciting. But at the same time, spent a lot of time and memories and had guests and did all kinds of stuff in this studio. So I will miss it. And in order to do something special for my last live show at the Falcon, going to play a selection of these are records and a tape, actually, which I had as a kid, and these are some of my favorite things to listen to when I first started even listening to like music or tapes or whatever. But these are all story records about different things, and you're just gonna have to listen to hear what they are about. And yeah, these are some like my earliest things I listened to ever, probably like 3 or 4 years old. This is when I would be listening to these things, and you know, they're still good today, 2026. You be the judge. We will be starting things out though with the storybook listen along record of Return of the Jedi, the original theatrical release version, which is the only one that existed. But got a lot of stuff to play, so I'm just going to get into the music, and it should be a fun show. I hope you enjoy. You're listening to VCR TV on X-Ray FM. Stay tuned.
This is the story of Return of the Jedi. You can read along with me in your book. You will know it is time to turn the page when you hear R2-D2 beep like this. Let's begin now. Rebel commanders were planning their next move against the evil Galactic Empire. Little did they know the rebellion was doomed, for the Emperor had ordered a new and more powerful Death Star to be built. And to protect the gigantic space station during its construction, an invisible shield was thrown around it from a large generator on the nearby moon of Endor. The Rebel Alliance would be wiped out once and forever. Meanwhile, on the desert planet of Tatooine, the vile gangster Jabba the Hutt was holding Han Solo in his menacing fortress. The foul, dimly lit palace was filled with alien guards, bounty hunters, and horrible monsters. But none was worse than the huge, slug-like Jabba himself. Yet Han Solo's friends were not afraid. They would face anything to save Han from his carbon-frozen state. First, the droids, C-3PO and R2-D2, tried pleading with Jabba, but he enslaved them.
Oh, dear.
Then, Chewbacca was sold to Jabba by a bounty hunter named Boosh. But late one night, Boosh approached the carbonite block that held Han. A switch was thrown, and the block melted. Han was free. He faced Boosh.
Who are you?
The figure removed its helmet.
Someone who loves you. Now let's move it, Flyboy.
It was Princess Leia. However, the rescue was short-lived. Jabba's guards immediately seized the two and put them in prison. Then a black-robed figure strode bravely into the main room.
Listen to me, Jabba. I am Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight. I come unarmed, but do not underestimate my powers.
A guard's blaster flew across the room and into Luke's grasp.
Release my friends or be destroyed, Jabba.
But the gangster only laughed. A trapdoor opened. Luke fell into a dark cell which held a monstrous rancor. But the young Jedi soon defeated the beast. Jabba was furious. C-3PO translated his angry shouts to the others.
Oh dear. He says he is going to keep Princess Leia, R2, and me for himself. But Master Luke, Captain Solo, and Chewbacca are to be taken out to the Dune Sea by skiff. There they will be thrown into a pit containing the man-eating Sarlacc.
Before long, Han found himself outdoors on an airskiff, hovering over the deadly desert trap.
Luke, if this is your big escape plan, so far I'm not crazy about it.
I had to get us all out of Jabba's palace first. Just stay close to Chewie and that guard at the back. That's Lando.
Then Luke signaled to R2-D2 aboard Jabba's floating sail barge. The tiny droid fired a lightsaber over the pit and into Luke's waiting hand. The weapon flashed a light, and Jabba's guards were destroyed. A blast rocked the skiff. Sail barge guns were firing at them. Lando toppled overboard, sliding toward the Sarlacc pit. Han shouted,
"Go get Jabba, Luke. Chewie and I will rescue Lando."
Luke leaped onto the sail barge, attacking the gun crews fearlessly. He then blasted the ship with its own gun.
Come on, Leia. Jabba's finished.
The two escaped to the skiff with the droids as the pleasure barge exploded in flames. Before Luke could rejoin the Rebel Alliance, he had to visit Dagobah to speak with Yoda, the Jedi Master. The young Jedi had a burning question.
Master, is Darth Vader my father?
Yoda grew sad.
Your father, he is. But face him, you must, Luke. Of the Emperor, beware, or to the dark side of the Force will he turn you. Like Vader, the last of the Jedi, are you?
Luke shut his eyes.
Then it is I who must face Lord Vader.
Luke returned to Rebel headquarters in time to hear surprising news from Mon Mothma, leader of the Alliance.
We have learned that the Emperor is aboard the new Death Star, so we are sending our entire fleet to destroy it. General Solo will lead a strike team to Endor to shut down the deflector's shield. That will permit the fleet, under General Lando Calrissian's leadership, to attack. All right, good luck, and may the Force be with you.
Han piloted a stolen Imperial shuttle toward Endor's deflector shield.
This baby may not be as fast as the Millennium Falcon, Chewie, but it'll have to do. Lando needs our ship for his attack.
The radio crackled to life.
This is Deflector Shield Control. Identify yourself.
Leia nervously transmitted a clearance code.
I hope that secret code we stole works.
She waited breathlessly. The shield opened for them.
We did it!
Darth Vader entered the Emperor's throne room on the Death Star and kneeled.
A small rebel force has landed on Endor, my master. My son is with them. I felt him.
Yes, I know. You must go to Endor and wait for him. He will come to you, and you will then bring him before me. Together we will turn him to the dark side of the Force.
Yes, my master.
No sooner had Han's strike team landed in the forest of Endor than it ran into some Imperial scouts. Han watched them jump to their speeder bikes.
We've got to keep them from reporting to the others.
Han and Chewie fired their blasters. The escaping bikes exploded, knocking their riders to the ground senseless. But two other riders got away. Luke and Leia chased them on speeder bikes. They weaved among the giant trees at breakneck speed. Finally, the rebels forced the biker scouts to tumble helplessly into the unyielding trees. When Leia didn't return, the team searched the woods for her. Suddenly, they were surrounded by crude spears held by tiny bear-like warriors. C-3PO listened to their squeaky language.
They're Ewoks, Captain Solo, and they say that you are their prisoners.
Us? What about you, Goldenrod?
I'm their guest. I believe they think I'm some sort of god.
Oh, great.
The rebels were tied up and taken to the Ewok village high in the trees, where they were reunited with Leia. Luke had an idea.
3PO, tell them if they don't release us, you'll become angry and use your great magic.
But Master Luke, what magic? I don't... Help!
Using the Force, Luke floated C-3PO over the Ewoks' heads. The furry warriors chattered nervously with their chief.
It seems the trick worked, Master Luke. They have vowed to help us fight the Empire.
The next day, Darth Vader arrived at the Imperial base on Endor. Stormtroopers marched a rebel prisoner to him and left.
Ah, young Skywalker. The Emperor told me you'd seek me out.
I surrendered so I could talk with you, Father. There is still good in you. I feel it. The Emperor hasn't driven it fully from you. I can help you turn away from the dark side.
Someone has filled your mind with foolish ideas, young one. The Emperor will show you the true nature of the Force. Come.
Vader took Luke to the Emperor's throne room. The black-robed ancient figure looked up.
Welcome, young Jedi. I look forward to completing your training. Soon you will call me Master.
You're mistaken. Soon you and this Death Star will be destroyed.
No, it is you who are mistaken. Your friends are all walking into a trap of my devising. The rebel attack is doomed.
On Endor, Han and his troops overpowered the few soldiers guarding the Imperial bunker.
See? Nothing to it, Leia. We'll have that shield down in a flash.
Hands up, rebel scum. You're surrounded.
What?
Han spun around to see dozens of Imperial stormtroopers pointing laser rifles.
We were set up!
The rebel fleet raced toward the Death Star with the Millennium Falcon in the lead. Lando checked his instruments.
Something's wrong.
The shield is still up!
Lando steered the ship sharply away and called into the comlink.
It's a trap! All craft pull up! Evasive action!
Most of the fleet turned in time, but some ships smashed into the invisible shield. Then, hundreds of Imperial fighters attacked the rebel fleet. Lando's voice filled the command center aboard the main rebel star cruiser.
Admiral Akbar, we can't go forward and we can't retreat. Our only hope is to stand and fight it out.
Suddenly, a blinding beam flashed out from the Death Star, blowing up a rebel cruiser. Lando shouted.
That blast came from the Death Star, Admiral. It's operational. Where is Han?
Things looked hopeless for Han and his strike team. But then, from the forest, hundreds of Ewoks attacked the stormtroopers. They dropped rocks, swung from trees, and threw spears. Chewbacca tossed stormtroopers about as Han and Leia made a break for the bunker.
We've got to get that shield down, or the fleet will be shot to bits.
The Emperor beamed at Luke.
Your fleet and your friends are lost. Good. I can feel your anger, young Jedi. Strike me down.
The lightsaber leaped into Luke's hand, and he swung it at the Emperor. But Vader's weapon stopped the blow.
Now you must fight me once more.
Their shining blades flashed time and again in fierce combat. Then with a terrible frenzy, Luke slashed at Vader, driving the Dark Lord to his knees. The Emperor was delighted.
Good. Kill him, Luke. Your hate has made you powerful. Now you'll join the dark side.
Luke threw down his weapon.
Never! I'm a Jedi as my father was before me.
So be it, Jedi.
Energy bolts shot from the Emperor's hands, hammering Luke to the floor. Seeing his son hurt, Vader seized the wicked ruler. The deadly bolts then struck the Dark Lord, but he managed to throw the Emperor into a deep pit. Vader crawled weakly to Luke.
Go, my son. Leave me.
No. I've got to save you.
You already have, Luke.
Then Vader slumped over. Luke stumbled sadly to his shuttle and blasted off. Aboard the Millennium Falcon, Lando shouted,
They did it! The shield is down! Let's go!
Lando led a squadron of fighters through a maze of girders and pipes in the half-built Death Star.
There's the main reactor. Fire!
The concussion missiles shot up.
Direct hit!
The Death Star rocked with a chain of explosions. The Millennium Falcon raced away, just inches ahead of the terrible explosion. That night on Endor, the rebels celebrated at the Ewok village, laughing and dancing around a large bonfire. But Luke's thoughts were elsewhere.
I can't believe it's over, Leia. The Imperial fleet's destroyed, the Death Star exploded, the Emperor dead, and my father.
Leia hugged him.
Come join us, my brave Jedi.
She led him back to their circle of friends. Heroes, together to the end.
Greetings, all. Welcome to your Dungeons & Dragons read-along book. Every time you hear this sound, it means it's time to turn the page in your storybook. Now, if you are ready, we will begin. Open your book, and we will start the story of Quest of the Riddles. Don't forget to turn the page every time you hear the sound. A dark veil of sadness hung over Strongheart's castle like a cold fog. Old Ringelrun, the good wizard, was sick. For nearly a week, the aged magician had been in bed. Numerous clerical and magic spells had been tried, without success. If something was not done soon, the old man might perish. Using all the strength he could gather, Ringelrun called Strongheart to his bedside.
Are you feeling any better today, good wizard? We are all so concerned about your health.
Ringelrun recognized Strongheart's voice and wearily opened his eyes.
I am little improved, my son. The sands in this old hourglass are running low. Nothing lives forever, not even wizards.
Surely there must be something that can help you. I would quest to the four corners of the earth to find a medicine that could bring you back to us in good health.
Ringelrun thought for a moment, then spoke in a low whisper.
There is one thing which could help me, Strongheart. It is a potion of longevity. The powders of the potion are hidden in a chest which lies deep within the dungeon of Castle Vidalia.
Then it is there that I am bound, my friend. I will find the potion and bring it to you.
It will not be an easy task, my son. The potion is guarded by three ancient riddles. You must answer all three correctly in order to claim the life-giving prize.
On my honor, I will not rest until I have solved the riddles, and the potion of longevity is in your hands.
A fanfare of trumpets sounded as Strongheart rode forth from his castle and began. Castle Vitalia lay many miles from Strongheart's home. Through the dark forest of Grey Glen, across the two rivers of Elfin Valley, and high in the rugged mountains of the Copper Dragon. Though the journey was difficult, Strongheart rode on without rest. After two long nights, the good paladin could see the rocky towers of Castle Vitalia rising up above the forest trees. Strongheart wasted no time in finding the entrance to the dungeon which held the potion of longevity. The dark passageways of the dungeon were lit by the flickering torches mounted on the stone walls. Soon Strongheart reached a fork in the tunnel. From this point on, the dungeon path divided in two.
Only one of these tunnels leads to the potion. But which one? Look there. Carved in the old stone wall. This must be the first riddle.
Strongheart moved his torch close to the wall and read the carving.
A door of the bat, the door of the owl. Only one leads true, the door of the fowl. Both are creatures of the night. Both possess the wings of flight. One is mammal, the other bird. Has the answer yet occurred?
Above the door to the left was carved the image of a bat, and over the door to the right was the carving of an owl.
The door of the bat, the door of the owl. That much is clear. Now I must choose the door of the fowl. I believe I know the answer. Although bats can fly, they are not birds, but mammals. The owl is the true bird here. I will take the way that leads to the right.
Strongheart had successfully solved the first riddle, but there were two more mysteries waiting to baffle him before he could claim the potion of longevity and save his friend, Ringelrun. A few hundred yards down the new corridor, Strongheart reached a locked door. On either side of the door stood a skeleton, each keeping a silent guard. Strongheart tried the door and found it was firmly locked. Then he saw the second riddle carved above the door. He read the poem aloud.
Simple things can seem complex. Keep this in mind to miss the hex. Unambiguous it is. Lizards, lobsters, what a quiz. Look for the key at the top of the spine. Seek the head of every line. This riddle is more difficult than the first, but I must be careful not to overcomplicate the answer. The poem warns of this trap.
Strongheart thought for several long minutes, and then exclaimed with a shout,
"By the heavens! The answer is there twice. How could I have missed it? The top of the spine. Only mean one thing. The key must be hidden in the bony heads of these long dead gods. The second clue is more clever. Seek the head of every line means to read only the first letter in every line of the riddle. S-K-U-L-L-S. Skulls. This proves I'm right. The key is certain to be inside one of the skulls."
Strongheart found the dusty old key inside the skull of the right-hand skeleton. With a turn of the key, the heavy door swung open. Before him, Strongheart saw an amazing sight. Strongheart was now in the final chamber of the dungeon. Before him, on a large wooden table, rested three gold chests. Lying on the table was an ancient scroll bound up with a black ribbon. He untied the ribbon and read the message.
"Clever traveler, by now, in order to reach this chamber, you must have correctly answered the first two riddles. We, the elders of Castle Vitalia, have placed the magical powders you seek in one of the three chests which lie before you now. The other two contain vapors which, when released, will cause your death. Choose carefully after reading this little rhyme."
Strongheart read the final riddle aloud.
"The chest you seek was in the middle. Now follow, if you can, the riddle. Right moved left, and left moved right. Then new left to the middle did alight. Is the chest right, left, or middle? Concentrate to solve the riddle." "Zounds, this final riddle is baffling. I must think it through carefully. The chest was in the middle. The right moved left, and left moved right. That means the two outside chests switched places. Then the new left moved to the middle. Unless I'm mistaken, that means that the middle becomes the left. That is one consolation. If I am wrong, I will not have to suffer the embarrassment of failure. I will be dead."
Strongheart picked up the chest on the left and held it tightly in his hands. In one brave gesture, he lifted the heavy gold lid. To his great joy, he saw inside the chest three small glass vials.
"These must be the ingredients in the potion of longevity. I must bear them quickly back to Ringelrun. He will know what to do with them. I only pray I am not too late."
There was much rejoicing when Strongheart returned to the castle with the potion of longevity. Weak Ringelrun mixed the ingredients together and drank the bitter brew down in one gulp. Within minutes, his cheeks flushed red once more, and a bright sparkle danced across his eyes.
"This potion has given me many new years of life, Strongheart. I must be sure to use them wisely and in the service of goodness.
Together, you and I will struggle on against the villains of hatred and selfishness, Ringelrun."
The two old friends clasped hands in a solemn pact. There was one riddle whose answer they already knew. The riddle of friendship.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to VCR TV on X-Ray FM. I'm your DJ Kyle Reese here live in Studio B, as I have been for most of the past 9 years. This is my last show, live show in the studio, old studio space, the Falcon Arts. Spent a lot of time here. It's a great place. And I'll miss it, but the new studio is going to be cool and exciting also, and I'm looking forward to that as well. We just heard the Quest of the Riddles, that is Dungeons & Dragons read-along book, tape, that is the tape that I had as a kid, and I had the book as well. Before that... Actually, one thing I need to mention about that. If you listen to that soundtrack music they're playing in that, that's Dungeon Synth before that even existed. That music was very impactful on me, in case you couldn't tell. But, yeah, it was pretty cool things they were making back then for kids in 1983, 84, I'd say. We had Return of the Jedi... read or narrated by Jim Magan. That was a Vista Records read-along book record as well, and I had that on cassette. This was the actual 7-inch I was playing in the studio tonight, but also very impactful on me, the sound effects and narration and all that kind of stuff. I'm basically doing some of the first music or records or media I ever listened to or was cognitive of for this last show in the studio. Right now we're listening to the G.I. Joe soundtrack album. This is all the music from the show, also influential. The soundtrack for all those, or most of those shows in the 80s was all pretty cool music, and definitely like doing more with it than making just kids music, you know, which is cool, and I appreciate that. All that being said, I'm going to play this last record, which I think will take us to the end of the show. This one is just entitled Masters of the Universe. It's a record with He-Man and Skeletor on the cover, but this was a tape that I had that I listened to very much, and has a really bizarre ending sequence, which I'm excited to play on air tonight. So let's get into that. Hopefully this record makes it to the end of the show. If not, I'll play something else. But here is the Masters of the Universe record, Kid Stuff record label. Enjoy. I'll talk to you at the end of the show.
We are the masters of the universe. Far in the deepest reaches of space, hidden from view by the swirling gases of a trillion solar systems, lies a world beyond all imagining. Here, spinning in the endless blackness of space, exists the planet Eternia. Eternia. Even in the name, you can hear the magic. The roar of the winds that whip their way through the rocky mountaintops. The crashing of the waves that cast themselves upon the sandy shores of time on this mysterious world, tucked away in a forgotten corner of the universe. Eternia, the equatorial vine jungle, whose steamy swamps swarm with gigantic serpents and twisted man-eating plants whose roots dangle dangerously, waiting to trap and devour any foolhardy intruder. Eternia, where the evergreen forest towers as immense trees reach upward toward the fleecy blue sky overhead. The thick, ferny underbrush teems with countless strange creatures who have evolved into life forms much different from those on Earth. Great winged lizards dangle by their scaly claws from the topmost branches of the pines, while deep within the mossy caves that line the cliffs, awesome dragons watch the world through beady green eyes and spew their sulfurous breath out into the morning chill. Eternia, the sprawling sands of time, a desert whose shifting dunes hide ruins of long past ages when great stone temples lined the streets of imperial cities, all gone now, swallowed up and swept away by the constant changing sands. All that remain are a few crumbling monuments to tell the tale of a forgotten civilization that labored and perished in the unforgiving desert. Eternia, a world of unimaginable beauty and unspeakable danger. For it is here, on this isolated planet, that one of the greatest battles between good and evil in the universe is being played out. The monstrous Skeletor, a villain of unending cunning and wickedness, has escaped. After years of isolation on his own planet, Infinita, and with a legion of demons at his side, threatens the safety and tranquility of Eternia. But Eternia has a protector, a hero foretold in legend and myth since the dawn of Eternian time. Centuries ago, Eternia's wise rulers, the Council of Elders, sensed that sometime in the future, danger would descend on their planet. In one moment of incredible concentration, they compressed all their accumulated knowledge and wisdom about the universe into one omnipotent glowing orb of power. They transformed the center of their government, the lustrous Hall of Wisdom, into a fearsome, rocky castle with the stone face of a skull at its front. They placed the orb of light and wisdom deep in the musty dungeons of the castle, where it would be safe from the forces of evil. Over the thousands of years that followed, the thick evergreen forest swallowed up the frightful edifice, and it disappeared into memory and folk legend. But to this very day, its name brings a chill of fear and awe. It is the mighty Castle Grayskull. And now, the evil warrior that the wise Council of Elders feared has arrived. Skeletor stalks the planet, searching for a way to seize control. But at every turn, his wickedness is checked by the heroic protector spoken of in the old tales. A giant of a man, with long golden hair and rippling muscles that gleam in the brilliant Eternian sunlight. This is He-Man. In order to protect his true identity and thus make it harder for Skeletor to destroy him, He-Man lives a double life as Prince Adam, playful son of King Randor and Queen Marlena. Even now, as we speak, Prince Adam is playing with his pet tiger, Cringer, in the beautiful gardens that surround his father's castle. He and his feline friend romp in the tall grass, happy and carefree, unaware that, as He-Man, he is about to face the most difficult and dangerous challenge of his life. A life and death struggle with Skeletor, the outcome of which will determine the fate of the planet and perhaps the entire universe.
Careful, my furry friend. Your claws are sharp. Sometimes you do not realize your own strength. Here, I will toss this stick out onto the lawn, and you will find it and return it to me. Do you understand?
Cringer growled with pleasure. He loved the long afternoons he and his master spent in games and fun. Adam hurled the wooden stick high into the air. It soared over the flower beds and landed far away in a bushy area at the very edge of the castle grounds. Sometimes Prince Adam didn't realize his own strength either. Cringer charged away after the stick.
Good cat! Find it and bring it to me!
Suddenly, a huge black shadow swept across the green lawn. The warm afternoon air was stirred to a chill by the flapping overhead of two gigantic wings. Prince Adam gazed up into the cloudless sky and saw an amazing sight. It was Zor, the falcon, the great winged bird, whose wingspan was more than 20 yards across, glided low, skimming the tops of the tall trees that surround the castle walls. And most amazing of all, on the falcon's wide, feathered back, rode Man-at-Arms, Prince Adam's teacher and companion. In a sweeping arc, the giant bird and its rider soared over the lawn and landed in a flurry just a few yards from the young prince. Man-at-Arms slid down along one of the gigantic wings as Prince Adam rushed to his side.
Greetings, my friend, and greetings to Zor, the falcon, too. I see concern on your brow, my teacher.
The enormous bird settled its mammoth wings by its side in a gust of wind as Man-at-Arms put his hand on Prince Adam's mighty shoulder, and the two of them walked through the garden talking.
I am afraid, sire, that I am not the bearer of good news.
This I sensed, my friend. Please tell me what is wrong.
There is trouble in the Northland, my lord. The wicked Skeletor has found his way dangerously close to Castle Grayskull.
That bony fiend! His wickedness knows no bounds!
It is worse than you think, my prince. Skeletor has learned of the wisdom of the elders, which is hidden deep inside Castle Grayskull. He has vowed, by all that is unholy, to break into the castle and gain control over the elders' wisdom.
This must not be done! With this power, Skeletor could easily rule all Eternia. His cruel leadership would plunge our world back thousands of years into the Dark Ages once more. All across the planet, the light of hope and joy would be snuffed out by this fiend. He must. He will be stopped if it takes my last breath to do it.
I knew, my lord, that you would not let your people down. The fate of the planet rests on the outcome of this battle.
In an instant, Prince Adam reached down and grasped the sword which always hung by his side. He seized it in his strong hand and lifted it high overhead. It gleamed in the afternoon sun. This was the Sword of Power, given to him by the sorceress, protector of Castle Grayskull. With this mighty weapon, Prince Adam could transform himself and his pet tiger Cringer into He-Man and Battle Cat, his armored mount.
I am ready to do my duty to defend this planet. Skeletor will perish!
Then, in a booming voice that echoed off the castle walls and out into the forest, Prince Adam shouted the magic words that would cause his amazing transformation.
By the power of Castle Grayskull! By the power of Castle Grayskull!
The earth shook underfoot, and black clouds swept across the Eternian sky, darkening the sun. Overhead, the heavens opened up, and down through the inky clouds flashed a brilliant bolt of white light. In a split second, it crashed onto the very tip of the Sword of Power like a bolt of lightning. A shower of blue sparks flew upward toward the heavens. Even the gods watched on in amazement as in a blinding moment, the molecules of Prince Adam's body danced and swirled in a kaleidoscopic pattern of energy and change. Moments later, as the blue smoke cleared, Prince Adam was gone. In his place, muscles poised for action, stood He-Man. By his side stood Battle Cat. The power of Castle Grayskull had transformed Cringer into a fierce animal, a huge cat with green and yellow stripes and gigantic sharp claws and fangs. He-Man leaped up onto the enormous cat's broad, muscular back, and with a shout, the two brave fighters charged off into the forest toward Castle Grayskull. Meanwhile, on a rocky bluff overlooking Castle Grayskull, Skeletor and his wicked followers, Evelyn, Beastman, and Triclops, gazed down at the view below. It was dusk, and the setting Eternian sun cast strange, twisted shadows as its last remaining rays filtered down through the ancient pines. Far below Skeletor and his friends rested Castle Grayskull. In the dim half-light of sunset, the castle glowed with an eerie green light that seemed to radiate from within the moss-covered stone walls. The eye-like windows of the skull-faced castle stared out menacingly, as if to warn any would-be intruders to stay far away. A shroud of swirling fog was settling over the castle now. It wrapped its misty fingers around the castle towers and spiraled towards the damp earth. The castle's entrance, the huge tooth-lined mouth of the skull, was sealed shut. Like the mouth of a long-dead man, it knew many secrets, but would speak none of them. Small leathery bat. It is dawn on Eternia. As the morning sun creeps up above the craggy, mystic mountains, it spills its warm, life-giving light onto the dark and foggy valleys below. Small, furry creatures stir in their holes. High in the pine trees, great birds stretch their stiff, feathered wings, while other birds, night predators, return home to their lairs in caves and hollow trees. Even the myriad strange plants that line the forest floor respond to the sun in a ballet of movement too slow to be seen by any eye. They unfurl tender new leaves and twist their faces toward the warmth of the rising sun. But this morning, the peace and tranquility of the forest is shattered by a strange intruder. It is He-Man and Battle Cat. All through the long night, they have raced on toward Castle Grayskull, determined to reach the castle before Skeletor can begin his attempt to enter the fortress. Battle Cat is fast as the wind. But can they reach the castle in time? Nearby, at Skeletor's campsite, everyone is still sleeping. Everyone, that is, except Panthor, Skeletor's mammoth black cat. Perhaps it is a scent carried on the morning wind or the sound of the rustling bushes that has awakened the cat's senses. The gigantic animal is anxious and paws at the ground nervously. He smells danger. Soon, Skeletor opens his wicked eyes with a start and looks around.
What is wrong, my good friend Panthor? Do you smell or hear something that we cannot sense yet? Up! Up, you lazy creatures! I have a feeling He-Man is drawing near. We must not let him catch us unprepared.
Soon, Triclops, Beastman, and Evelyn were awake and preparing themselves for battle. As they donned their armor, Skeletor gazed down on Castle Grayskull. Even the gleaming light of the morning sun could not erase the dark and foreboding shadows that clung to the castle walls. In the bright sunlight, Skeletor could appreciate the immense size of Castle Grayskull. Its towers reached skyward, and the mammoth stones around its base dwarfed even the huge trees of the forest. From deep within the castle walls, Skeletor thought he could hear a sound, softly at first, but growing slowly louder. It was a voice. No, not one voice, but rather a chorus of voices speaking as one. The voices sounded anxious, as if they sensed that something dark and horrible was waiting outside the castle walls. The sound grew louder until it reverberated through the valley and rang with a fury in Skeletor's ears.
I know that sound,
whispered Skeletor in a low and raspy voice.
It is the voice of the Council of Elders, keepers of the wisdom and power. Of course they are nervous. They know I am nearby, and that soon all that they possess will belong to me. So sing, you fools. Sing! This is the day I have dreamed of all my life. By sunset, I will be the master of Castle Grayskull.
Skeletor and his friends made their way down the side of the rocky cliff toward the castle. The approach to the castle was hard. The path was old and clogged with thorny vines and bushes. Skeletor slashed at the underbrush with his sword and hacked his way onward. Soon, they reached the entrance to Castle Grayskull. They all gathered around the raised drawbridge, which was caked and crusty with age, and gazed up toward the parapets high above. The fortress seemed impenetrable.
I have not come this far, only to be stopped by a wall of stone. We must find a way inside this blasted castle.
Perhaps I can be of some small assistance, your royal wickedness,
intoned Evelyn in her raspy, bird-like voice.
I, too, have many powers. Watch as I demonstrate my amazing skill.
Her bird-like eyes grew wild with excitement. She closed the cape over her head and grumbled a strange, unintelligible chant. A pale green mist began to form about her. Soon, she was glowing with a putrid light. A foul odor filled the air. When the fetid smoke cleared, Evelyn was gone. In her place, scratching at the ground, was a hideous vulture. It was Screech, the alter ego of Evelyn. The filthy bird had a plan. She would fly up to the top of the castle and see if she could gain entrance through one of the eye socket windows. With a dreadful screeching sound, the repulsive bird flapped its feathered wings and lurched skyward.
Look!
Help us, please! Don't let us die!
You will not die, Skeletor. You have been trapped in a time vortex. It will carry you far away from here to another time far in the past. Perhaps, for a while, we here on Eternia will be safe from your tyranny. Farewell, Skeletor! Farewell!
You may have tricked me this time, but be warned. You have not seen the last of me. I will find my way out of this time trap and return to challenge you again. He-Man. Of that, you may be sure. You have not seen the last of Skeletor. I will have revenge! 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 Revenge!
The voice of Skeletor faded away to nothing, and then he was gone, lost in the swirling infinity of time. But He-Man knew better than to count his enemy out. If anyone could find his way back from the depths of history, it was the evil Skeletor. And if it wasn't Skeletor, it would be yet another foe. For there is always some selfish soul ready to take up the low road of tyranny. He-Man knew at that moment that the battle would never be truly over. In his heart, he knew that he would struggle all his life against the cowards and bullies who mistake gentleness and concern for weakness and fear. But if there were battles to be fought, he could think of no better cause. It was as old as time itself. All across the infinite universe, thousands of brave men and women were carrying on the struggle against tyranny. He was but one lone soldier in an army of heroes. Together, they were truly masters of the universe.